for the review, once again, we understand this whole term of purity, and even adding to what Sister Marvel was asking, in that question of purity, reason why a Christian must be pure. We've lightened that up so much. We've kind of said, you know, how we've distorted grace. We've made it so it's just some statements you make and then everybody just kind of goes their way, not realizing it's a process that we allow God to do to us in order for us to stay within his walk into what we're supposed to, if that makes sense. Purity is mandatory. That's why he said, to the pure, all things are pure. And we recognize the pure. And like I said, the definition of pure is it is what it is. So if God says that's what it is, that's what it is. Most of us who walk by faith, if we truly walk by faith, we take him at his word. Now, some say, oh, yeah, amen. But what we don't realize is many are walking by faith in what we see in what he said. You understand that? And that's why people give testimony usually based off of, I did said this, God, he did this. That's why I have faith. Not realizing you just had faith in the outcome. But if God said something and you never seen it, but you kept believing, that's faith. You understand that? And that's a struggle because we just don't have that type of faith anymore. A pure person will. He's like, well, God said it. So that's what it is. But it, no, I seen this, this, and this. God said it. Make no mistake, purification is from God. God is the one who purifies us. So we have to go through that process. What is the process? Obeying God's word. You got many people who call people false ministers and teachers who teach obeying God's word, even though throughout the Bible we see that we must obey God's word. In fact, he said in 1 Peter 1:22-23, now that you have purified yourselves by what? Obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers. Love one another deep from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of an imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. So the power of purity and through the word is this process of us taking what God says and us applying it and doing exactly what he says. And that purifies us. Now, don't mistake purity with living with works. It's a product of grace. Grace is a lifestyle. So please understand that it has to happen through faith. If it is our choice if we will be pure or impure. That's what that one verse which is. Some are made for noble purposes and some are made for ignoble purposes. And what he's stressing to us, and that's why he says, if a man cleanses himself from the latter, he's saying, basically, if I live my life to live purely, then I'm going to be used by God for noble purposes. If not, I'm going to be used for ignoble purposes. But it's a choice I have to be choose. What type of instrument am I going to be used for by God? A major ingredient of godly wisdom is purity. The way you know that is truly from God, the wisdom that you get is going to be fully based on God's word is where we get that. We must make sure our relationships are pure and not based on anything else. We see sometimes when people get together and what we see in movies that we call true love, how we treat one another, how you see parents and your children calling each other best friends and things like that. Is that based on God's word or not? And we got to see how we're supposed to respond in these things, how we're supposed to deal in these things. We must be aware of our spiritual relationship with others when it comes to our purity, because, you know, sometimes people will take somebody and call them their spiritual leader, their spiritual advisor, and if that person's not following you in God, you're setting yourself up. You're going to share in their sins because you're going to end up following them, and instead of what God says, we've seen in the Bible it shows how to teach the young men to be pure, and that's going to be out of a good example of good deeds and purity in the doctrine. That means men, we don't come out calling ourselves Christian and live wishy-washy. We display what the Bible says. That's what it means. And then the women train the younger women to be the things that the Bible says. It says self-controlled and pure. So in other words, pure, not in a worldly sense, but in a godly sense, fully based on what the Bible says that a woman's supposed to be. A major ministry of wives to husbands is the wife displaying herself completely living for God. Remember, it says when they see the purity and reverence of your lives, that's how they said they'd be won over when they see the purity and reverence. And even though we're talking about purity, we understand that when they see the women truly, completely living by God's word and they're doing it with reverence, that ministers. Now, does that exist? That's very hard because it just doesn't, because you see more emotion, you see more reaction, you see more ideology, you see less of this. So the ministry part is usually gone after that.
One question.
Yes.
When you said the women living pure in reverence, what's the difference?
So pure is you're doing 100% what the Bible says. So in other words, you won't do some emotional move to the left. You won't, I know the Bible says this, but I felt, I know the Bible says this, but I won't. You won't do some intellectual move to the wherever, to where you're saying, I was looking at it and I saw this work. You see where I'm going with that? Every action, everything will be fully based on God's word. And then it's why you do it, because of reverence in God. You do it almost with an urgency of, man, I have to do this. So they'll see this, they'll see that nothing will scare you away from doing it. And that you'll have this, I can't say timid fear, but a fear of not doing it, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Make sense?
Thank
Yeah.
you.
Yep. So then we started on the concept of impure. So to show us the other end of what it means to impure. Impurity comes in many forms. So we must be careful not to allow them. It said in Ephesians 5:3, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. When he says a hint, and somebody even asked that question last week, it means we can't dabble in it. You have some Christians that dabble in some things. You know, I know some Christians that, you know, are Christians, but they still do a little bit of palm reading. They do a little bit of what's your sign and what's coming in for that day. They carry some good luck charms. They hang up stuff in their houses and stuff that's supposed to bring. That's just right there is impurity, and they come in different forms. Anything that's not based on the Bible that you're doing is impurity. And he was like, not even a hint of it should exist in our lives. And we ended it with a major dangerous form of impurity is sexual sin. And God says they will not go unpunished. I think today we kind of go with it. We really don't take it as serious as we should. And that's where we're at today. And I think because we don't see, you know, lightning coming out of the sky and zapping us, people take it for granted. And they don't realize they're setting themselves up. So that's where we last left off. So now the evidence that a person is unspiritual is impurity. That's why purity, if you're pure, you're spiritual. And if you're not, you're not. And somebody may say, so then how do I know that I'm pure? We just went through it. That's what the whole sermon, you know, this whole lesson up to this point was on. I'll be living strictly by the Bible. See, I've seen people that do things religiously. And then immediately you're like, well, that's not in the Bible. And immediately you can, that's what I'm saying. You know them by their fruit. You understand they're going to be biblically showing the decisions they make, not attractively, not desirably. It's going to be biblically. It's going to follow that. It shows in Galatians 5, 19 to 21. That's why he says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. He's saying, oh, you'll know. He's saying, so if I'm not watching a person by the fruits that they're showing, I'll notice a person by the good fruits that they're showing. If I didn't know them, I should know them by the bad fruits that they're showing, because you can't do both. And that's why he goes into the acts of sinful nature are obvious, and he breaks it down. Sexual immorality, impurity is part of the acts of sinful nature, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, and I go on with the rest of them. As you can see, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And going back up to the top of that list, when he says sexual morality, then he says impurity, he's saying you'll watch them do things that some may call spiritual, but is not based on God's word. That's impurity. You understand that? That's how we know it. And that's how we immediately go, well, that person's not a Christian. That their lives, how they live their lives. And we must recognize the thing that we allow to make us impure. We must know the things that are making us impure, okay? And impure. It says in 2 Corinthians 11, 2 to 4, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. This is Paul showing, you know, spirituality towards the people that he's ministering to in Corinth. He says, I promised you to one husband. So he's saying to that church, or, you know, and that which is part of the body, we belong to Christ. He says to Christ, he says, so that I might present you, watch this, as pure virgin to him. So remember, the thing that cleanses us, that makes us pure, is his word and us obeying. And that's what he's trying to do, give the pure word, we apply the word pure virgin, supposed to be. But he says, watch this. He says, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, watch this, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So there is a fear there because of how we can get charmed, misled. You know what I mean? Emotionally guided and taking us in the wrong way. Just like you said, just as Eve was deceived. And you see it all the time where Christians start going this way and they're following this other junk. You're like, where are you getting this from? Why are you following that? Like I said, we got to see it last year in many cases. You saw the liberal Christians go one way in a big extreme clump. And you saw the conservative Christians go one way in a big extreme clump. And both of them are not Christian. Both of them are following ideologies. And they did it almost, I mean, it was disturbing how Christians fell into that. You understand? Just like you said, they were deceived. He went on and says, for if someone, now watch what he says here, for if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preach, or if you receive a different spirit from one you receive, or a different gospel from the one you accept, watch what he says here, you put up with it easily enough. Y'all see what he's saying? He's basically breaking it down. The preaching you receive is not completely from the Bible. You basically go, oh, you know, that's good, but he did say some scripture, and we'll accept it, and we'll keep listening to them, and we'll keep following them. Or you listen to people based on other things other than testing the Spirit. You know how the Bible says test the Spirit? If you like it, if it makes you feel a certain way, you'll keep listening. And you allow false gospels to be preached instead of the good news of Christ. They'll start telling you, no, Christ wants this in your life. And they'll make up some story and they'll say some things about you and it'll make you feel good. Next thing you know, you're following that. And none of it's based on God's word. And he says, you put up with it easily enough.
I have a question, please.
Yes.
So then all they had was somebody preaching to them.
Yep.
Now we know we're supposed to check ourselves. We go to the word and study. And I mean, they weren't prevalent to Bibles like we were.
So they were, in the New Testament, they were. They didn't own one, but they had access to Scripture. That's why he would say the Bereans would go and test Scripture every day.
So when they even when they with the spiritual thing, you think was it better back then? Because I don't know if the same thing. You know how they always knew the difference when someone had a spirit or not having a spirit. So would they have been even more spiritual when it came for them to understanding the word or not?
Oh, absolutely, because they treated the word as sacred. We right now treat the word almost with like we do other textbooks. You know what I mean? We add an element of I'll take out of it what I want to take out of it, and I'll add to it what I want to add to it. We don't treat it as sacred as they did. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, just even how they touched the book physically, sometimes they were very careful with it. While today, you know, we barely carry it around, let alone read it and things like that. So yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. And that's, like I said, we reason why we grew worse, we grew closer to self, like it says in 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Timothy 4.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. And like you said, you put up with it easily enough. And that's what he's saying. He was like, instead of us over questioning, I told you when I was younger and I used to ask many questions, and I was even told, why are you so skeptical? Stop being so skeptical. And I mean, that should be one thing. No, I encourage, and we want to encourage. Skepticism is, if you're skeptical in you, then you're wrong anyway, because you're allowing you're just in the wrong direction anyway. But if I'm skeptical that I need you to really show me what the word says, no, you're making sure. You want to make sure, and there's nothing wrong with that. You understand that. Now be careful, because some people mix the two. You know, they're confused in themselves, and then they try to make you show in the Bible to convince their understanding. This is what you got to be careful. That's why he says trust in the Lord. That means if it says it here and it's clear there, that's it. But your own understanding sometimes makes you struggle. It makes you go, yeah, but I can't see why God, or I don't really get why God did. That's not what it said. Did he say that? Just do what he says. Also, impurity is allowing false teachings and teachers which are dangerous and misleading. And the key word is allowing. Right now, we are now ministered to multiple times. We have more access than people ever had due to the internet, due to access, due to driving, just to so much. However, we got so many false teachers out there that we allow. It says in 1 Timothy 1:3-7, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men, watch this, not to teach false doctrines any longer. Okay, so the church has to make sure when somebody's preaching something. I had to do that a couple of times even in church when people were saying stuff, as you can't keep teaching that. You understand that? It's not like y'all get in your little group and y'all believe what you believe and everybody, no, we have to say, you can't teach that if it's not in God's word, if that makes sense. It says, nor to devote themselves, to watch this, to myths and endless genealogies. When he says devote themselves, some people will spend their time on religious stuff and not on God. They'll spend their time on things that was heard of. Once again, internet offers a lot of junk that, and when I say spend your time, now it's not for watching or not watching TV or list or internet stuff like it. It's for if you invest your time in it. If I heard something on the internet has nothing to do with God, and then I'm researching it. You have more Christians that are more versed in conspiracies than they are in the Word of God. And that should disturb us. You understand that? We know of the new disturb, the conspiracies and the things that are going on out there and things that we heard, but when it comes to what we're supposed to do, spiritual attacks, the Bible tells exactly what to do, and that has never changed. So why all of a sudden are we changing now with, things we're taking, things we're eating, things we're doing, so on and so forth? I always told people, using let's use the vaccine for example. I have no problem, and if person by faith struggles with taking the vaccine, by all means, don't take it. Could be medical reasons, whatever. You don't take it, don't do it. The minute somebody turns it spiritual, but they're still taking medication, you become a hypocrite. You see where that comes from. In other words, you're saying, oh, I can't take this because spiritually they're doing this, this, and this. Okay, then stop taking every medication. Do you see what I'm saying? Don't blame God to try to force your agenda unless you're fully knowing it's from God and you can support it from God. And if a person said it was from God, not only wouldn't they take that, they would stop taking any medication. Why? Because it's still from man, still don't know what it's doing, still a lot of stuff we don't understand. So why are you taking it? And just some basic things like that. But we get devoted into these things. And like you said, endless genealogies in which people are trying to find other, bloodlines and who's really there and where do people really come from. All this stuff is meaningless. Okay. Now, these promote, like you said, controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. So now look what he's saying. When I get caught up in these things that I'm devoting myself to, it takes me away from my walk of faith. And this is why people get confused. We listen, we follow. Now we're these people spreading all this nonsense. The goal of this command, he says, is love, which comes from, watch this, a pure heart. Remember, your heart is your purpose. So only true love will only come from a person whose purpose is 100% based on purity, based on what God says, and a good conscience. And if he has these three things, all of these are godly. I could highlight these, even though we're talking about pure, is why I made this bold. But when he says a pure heart, just like I explained, a good conscience, remember, only God is good. So he's talking about my conscience. So if you have a guilty conscience, but it's based on you, that then that's a fleshly conscience. We're not talking about that. See, a good conscience is a person who's convicted by what God says, despite how they feel. That's the conscience. And that's why it comes down to sincere faith. Because remember, since true sincerity is in God, not in self. See, worldly sincerity is I really felt it. That's why I did. Have you ever did somebody? You only did it until you felt okay with doing it. That's not sincerity. That's sincerity in you, which is extremely corrupt because you're making you the basis. However, when I am completely clear in what the word says on this, do you get that? That's me having sincere faith. So be very clear, careful. And be careful also because some people only do this too because they want to hear the sky open and a voice come. And very few people got a chance to have that. We have access to God's word. We have his Holy Spirit. And usually we get clouded because of our version of what we want God to do and not what the word says. And then he says, watch what he says. Because of all this, he says, some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talking. That's where we're at today. Meaningless talking. The stuff that they're allowing to invade their lives and that they're following the conversations that are had, you're like, where's that at in the Bible? It says they want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. See, all of it, this is huge right now because we allow this. The reason why they're still so big and these organizations and these people exist is because we watch them, we invest in them, and we spread with the nonsense that they're saying. Now, God makes clear the destination of the impure. Here's the deal. He makes very clear this is what's going to happen to the impure. He says in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, he says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? And then he makes very clear, do not be deceived. And as I've always said, because the Bible shows it, and you see it here, deception is a choice. So when I'm deceived, or that it's because I allowed myself to be deceived. That's what he's saying. That's why I always tell y'all as Christians, do not play the victim. Deception is something you allow to happen. He says, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed. That's where that purification, where we obey what the word said. You were sanctified. We allowed ourselves to only be used by God. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you did all this based on Christ, not some other religion that gave you other stuff. And you allowed it by the Spirit of our God. You understand that? Now, breaking these down, he says you were washed, which we talked about, and that's that purity. You were purified by obeying the word, sanctification, in which you say, everything I do is going to be based on God. And some of the testing will happen in your relationships, in your careers, in certain decisions that are going to be made every day. In other words, what was that decision made? And you'll go, well, I can't do this because the Bible says. You'll lose out on a relationship because the Bible says. How you raise your kids, you'll go, oh, I did this because the Bible says. Everything will be. You might not get that promotion, or you do get the promotion because of what the Bible says. Your thing is not to be the biggest person at the company. Your thing is to do glorify God. And that means either if I moved up or not, as long as I'm glorifying God. And that's why he says, because the justification is not how great I am. God is not going to come down here to the CEOs and the people that own a whole lot of money and bitcoins and whatever you want to have it and say, these people are definitely going to heaven. We're going to build an empire. Most of them are going to hell. I hate to say it, because they're devoting to self based on self. It says you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means we live to represent Christ, and we live by the strength of the Spirit. Now watch this. Take note, there is a warning to the pure who choose not to be pure. Okay? Okay, some people say, because what some people say when you read this verse up here, he says, and that's what some of you were. The Eternal Security Group say, see, this right now says he's talking about somebody else. This up here is talking about somebody else because that's what you were. He said that, but what he's saying is true. He's like, this is what you were when you used to do this. And if you keep doing it, that's what you still are. And he shows it here in Hebrews 10, 26 through 31. If we deliberately keep on sinning, and that Greek word for deliberately keep on sinning means living in sin, even though I say I'm a Christian. So I say I'm a Christian after we have received the knowledge of truth. So after I become a Christian, but I still living sinfully, no sacrifice to sin is left. He says, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Can he make that any clearer? I mean, he's putting that out there for us very clearly. He's like, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and the raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. He goes on saying, verse 20, anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now, back then, they didn't have the Holy Spirit like we did, like we do. You understand? They didn't have the access and the strength that we do. And he's saying, if they rejected and two or three witnesses came and said, yep, I seen them do it, this person died. You understand that? Easy. It says, how much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished? Watch this. Who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, and he breaks it down, who has treated as unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him. So, of course, he's talking about Christians. And when he says, how much more severely, like I said, a fearful expectation of judgment and of a raging fire. He's saying, if I become a Christian and I choose to continue to live impure, I not only do I deserve it, I deserve it even much more than those who are unbelievers. He's like, because you now got the sight, you got the ability, you got everything, and you still chose to go after what the flesh wanted. That's why he says, who has insulted the Spirit of grace. You were empowered with the most powerful thing in everywhere, with the most powerful, the Holy Spirit, and you chose not to listen. He says, for we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So that warning is so important for us, to make sure we're still living in purity.
I have a question.
Yes.
Back when, I'm sorry, I couldn't get the mic on, but back when you were saying a Christian deliberately keeps on. So how is a Christian if he never repented? Because wouldn't, if he's a Christian, you repent of your sins, and it says you deliberately kept on sinning.
Yes. Right. So I'm lost.
Well, how is it a Christian if it's a person who never changed?
See, this is what it's saying. Okay, if I repented, repentance is me confessing my sins, right? I say they did that, mm-hmm. and then I accepted Christ and I started walking that way, and then all of a sudden I just on purpose by myself start living back a life of sin. That's what it's saying. Does that make sense? So I did go through the process of accepting Christ, wiping out my old sins, but I'm saying I want to be sanctified, used by him, and walk in him, but I still choose not to.
Well, some pastors say, and I don't know if they use a different scripture, that if someone does this, they were never a Christian.
Yeah, they say that now because they're struggling with these verses. That's the group that used to be eternal security. And now they're trying to save face. They're going, okay, eternal security still exists. So the person who backslides really wasn't a Christian. And they use that one verse. If they were with us, they would have never left us. They use that one by itself.
Right.
But that's not what this one is saying. He even said at the bottom, it is mine to avenge. The Lord will judge who? His people. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
And it says, has treated as unholy the thing, the blood of the covenant that sanctified him. Anybody who is not a Christian sanctified?
Okay, gotcha.
You see what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. yeah, this is talking about that person who is a Christian who declines. And I understand why they try to change it, because, like I said, they preach more of the doctrine of eternal security instead of mm-hmm. the doctrine of the gospel. And you get the ones that are scared of work so much, they're like, no, don't do anything. Grace. Not realizing the evidence of you living in grace will be what you display. It's not you earning anything. We can't earn anything. However, the evidence will be shown in our lives. So if I'm still living a sinful life, even after you've seen me accept Christ and even gain the fruit at one point, but then I made the decision, then that's what happens.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yep. So now we must become and stay pure then. And a key is to stay pure, because some say once you become, that's what we were just talking about, that Sister Marvin brought up, they think that's it. And like I said, there's a lot of them that really push the eternal security, and I get it. But look what it says here. We'll read these and then we'll close out. When it breaks it down, it says, our purpose must be for completely for God. It says in James 4, 7 through 10, it says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay, this is our protection. Remember I said earlier, today people are going, oh man, things are really getting bad. If you do this, then spiritual forces won't do this. Don't do this. Don't listen to this. Don't follow this. And they give you all this stuff. And we're like, oh, what do I do? Well, the spiritual part here, this is part of our spiritual battle. First, submit yourselves to God. That means this is why you come to Bible study, why you go to church, why you read your Bible. Why? I got to know what God wants me to do so I can do it. Submitting means yielding to that person's position. So I'm yielding to them. When I'm submitting to God, I realize he's the almighty God. He is my Lord. I'm going to find out what he wants me to do so I can do it. So I do that. That's the clear thing. There is none, hey, God, you're going to have to convince me to do what you want me to do. This is, I want to find out what he wants you to do and do it. And then on a reverse, resist the devil. The devil doesn't just say go sin. The devil deceives you. The devil tries to convince you to do it. So this is a spiritual battle on how we win it. It says, and he will flee from you. Come near to God. He will come near to you. Very important. God's always there for us, but we got to show that we are truly accepting him. Wash your hands, you sinners, and watch this, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Why does he say that? Because the purifying your heart, why does he say double-minded? Because you have those who are trying to live spiritual and you can't. You can't be both. That's a double-minded person. I think spiritual in this case, but I have no intention of really being spiritual. And that's why he breaks it down to grieve, mourn, and wail, change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. This right here, in a sense, is letting us understand the happiness we find down here in the flesh is deceptive. And it can make us not have that urgency, not minister. I still see people give people passes. One reason why we love eternal security is because we know so many people that are headed in the wrong place, especially loved ones. So it's easier for me to make them rush to say these words. After I say these words, I'm like, "Ooh, I did my part. Man, do I feel better." You understand that? Instead of me grieve, mourning, and wailing of, man, we need to be up there planting as many seeds. We need to be living our lives knowing that every aspect to get anybody that opportunity to accept him. Do you understand that? And then it says, and humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. The humble yourselves before the Lord is, you tell me what I am. You tell me where you want me to go. You make my life how you want me to be. And I'll wait until you tell me, okay, you're up there. Not look at what I did. Look at what I went through. Look at what I fought for. We want, you know, those things. So the purpose and our life and our focus has to completely be in God. Next, we must currently live purified as Christ lived purified because we are children of God. So purification isn't something that's supposed to happen later. This is something we are to be doing right now. He goes on to show in 1 John 3:1-3, how great is the love of the Father that the love, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Okay. Everybody who's not a Christian, creation, part of creation, want to accept Christ, become children. Okay. And it says that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us, that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. He says, and what we will be has not yet been known. In other words, we really don't know what we're really going to look like when that transformation happens that it talks about in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's where we're going to see him in his purest form. But I think the disciples, when they got to see him, in many cases, didn't recognize him. Remember, a lot of it as glory came back. And it says, everyone who has this hope in him, watch this, purifies himself just as he is pure. The reason why I put this in bold, because you'll purify yourself just as Christ. We will become Christ-like. That's why we have the same attitude of Christ. We walk like Christ. We don't just say, what would Jesus do as a bumper sticker, okay? We are to our actions and our walk will display this word of God like he did. Remember, Jesus says, I do exactly what my Father tells me. That's why he says, purify himself just as he is pure. And that's why he says, we do that right now. And he's saying, everyone who has this hope of Jesus returning, you're living a life purely for him. Thirdly, what we do is how we used to live serving the flesh, we must now live serving righteousness. Okay. So it's important that slavery attitude we have still there, of course, but it's now going to be for Christ and doing what he wants despite your situation. Romans 6:19 says, I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves, just as you used to offer parts of your body in slavery to impurity. So in other words, we used to allow our flesh to give in to what was wrong, to whatever sin was. He's like, and to ever increasing wickedness, we kept doing what we desired, what the world wanted, not what God says. He says, now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. Now, what does that mean? It means I'm going to be in the same predicaments. I'm going to have the same problems, but my now reasoning and focus is going to be on what God wants. Like I said, a Christian in a business won't have the same mindset as a non-Christian in a business. A non-Christian business is looking for their success, their happiness, them. Christian denies himself and he'll go in there and say, I'll succeed if God allows it. I won't succeed if God won't allow it. However, I'm going to serve God. They'll understand every step that they're doing, everything that they're doing. I go through a thing at work right now and I'm watching people and in a worldly way, and this is, it's a tough one. You're told to do certain things to get ahead of others or they're going to do it to you. And I watch certain cases when that happens to me and I know the feeling I want to respond. And I can respond in the feeling way. However, I know what the Bible says when it says about your enemies and things of that sort. And God's saying, I'll take care of it. It is mine to avenge. So I still got to love. I still got to be at peace. I can't retaliate. You understand that? I can't show any disdain towards them. Because I am now a slave to righteousness. And righteousness, nowhere in that righteousness to say, man, if they try to hurt you, show them my attitude. Man, if they do wrong by you, you know, treat them this way. know, do to them before they do to you. It doesn't say that. You understand that? We live for righteousness, and not just righteousness, live for righteousness. We live as slaves. I have to do this, is what you're going to, you'll see it like, I feel this way, but I have to do this. I have no other choice. And then you must recognize the specific things, the pure avoid, and the things that the pure go after. First of all, 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves, watch this, from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Now, let me be very careful, because what we've done is we humanize this in a sense. When they'll say that, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates, knowing in the Bible what it says contaminate. Now, can it be like television and these books and movies? Absolutely. But it's not those within themselves, because you have some that say, that's why I don't watch movies, I don't read books. It's not the case. It's what I allow these things to do. Do you understand me? Because remember, you're in the world, not of the world. You know, it's a person that understands restraint, they understand of getting away and all this other stuff. So when this is let us purify self, purification is, I'm in the world, but it does not affect me. Think about that. That's why it says everything that contaminates body and spirit. So I don't watch a movie, and even though I know the word says this, my mind has changed. I don't become some militant crazy person because of some song I heard. I don't become this thing. It doesn't contaminate me and distort my spiritual walk. No matter what, I am still just as focused in Christ. Y'all catch that? That's why he says perfecting holiness. See, the training we want to give to our kids is you're going to be exposed to this, because it's very easy for me to say, keep them away from this stuff. And then when they go out in the world and they're exposed to it, did I help them to live in holiness? Holiness is they'll recognize it, they'll put up that shield, they'll fully understand it, and they'll stay firm even amongst this stuff. They will not be contaminated. Very important. And why do they do it? Because we teach them this thing right here, out of reverence for God, which is non-existent today, because we kind of treat God as some invisible force. First of all, if I don't teach them reverence as a parent, they're not going to have reverence for God. That's the most important part right there. And we don't give them that. We become their best friend. We give them things they want. We reason with them. No reverence. So they treat God the exact same way. Next, in 2 Timothy 2:22, it says, flee the evil desires of the youth. What that means is, as a young person, your flesh is going to say, I want to do this. And he's saying, flee them. Don't let that be ever be the guide of your life. But I have to first flee those. So when it says flee them, don't ever stop letting those be your motivational point. The reason why you still see Christians who truly are sincere in being Christians getting into bad relationships is because their desires is what they still use to pick a husband or a wife. What do I mean by that? You'll see them pick somebody, even though they're biblical, that desire still plays a major part. So right now they're coexisting. My fleshly desires can't coexist with my faith. You can't mix the two. You either gonna walk by faith or you're gonna walk by sight. That's why that word not is in between that verse. Walk by faith, not by sight. You understand that? It's in either or. So I have to flee evil desires. And once again, that word evil is not in there. So I have to flee desires of the youth. I have to flee what I had when I was of the flesh. And then he says, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of, watch this, a pure heart. Y'all see that? Out of a pure, he's saying the righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Don't do it on those who are not from God. Because you have some people that are saying they're calling on righteousness, but it's not based on God. They say they're calling on pursuing faith, but it's not from God. They say they're pursuing love, not from God. Same thing with peace, not from God. See, if we understood these, you'd see it strictly out the Bible. These four words are so powerful in a Christian's life, if you have the right ones. The righteousness I see some people have nothing to do with God. The faith you'll see some people have is based on what they want and what they want out of it. The love we usually have is nothing more than desire, which is based on me. And the peace we have is situational. Wrong. The godly righteousness is fully based on what he says to do, period. The godly faith is in Christ, is in God. God said it. I'm doing it. That settles it. That's that faith. Love is that 1 Corinthians agape, 1 Corinthians 13, agape love, all those elements of what's going to be in that love. And no matter what, I'm in complete control of it. It's not something I fall into or fall out of. And peace, as Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. I don't give as the world. It's going to be despite your situation. You're still going to be at peace. Your stress of the flesh when I get to you, the depressions of the flesh when I get to you. That's the ones who do it out of a pure heart, because they're doing it based off, their purpose is based on God's word. And thirdly, of the recognizing those things, 1 Peter 2, verse 2, like newborn babies, crave. Now, do you notice he's given a command here on something that we usually say we have no control over? When he says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. So he's saying, when you first become a Christian, it commands me to crave, because we're taught to let the body tell us. We're taught to let the body go. When my senses are touched, then I react. And we grow into that. And that's why we think we can't help it. If we're being honest, there's still certain things that make us feel irritated, make us feel good, that make us feel sad, make us feel all that stuff. There's almost nothing you can do to make that go away. Where you're wrong is if you keep going by it, if you keep living by that feeling. See, when he says crave here, it's a command. So it's making me go, I got to read my word. I got to be a Bible study. I got to go to church. Pastor, you got to teach me the word. It's making me, it's something I choose to pursue and make it a craving, not a fleshly craving, which is triggered by my flesh, but have the craving, which is based on the spiritual. And he says, so that by it, you may grow up in your salvation. That's what I'm saying. It's for us to become mature. We have to have it. We don't have this. You won't grow up. Many Christians will not grow up because of it. And we must follow Jesus' lead. Let's break it down and then we'll end it. It says John 8, 15 through 16 says, you judge by human standards. Watch what he says. I pass judgment on no one. This is Jesus saying this because he was made all man. That first statement, he's basically saying Jesus never passed his feelings or what he thought on anybody. He said, I pass judgment on no one. You'll never hear my judgment. Remember, the question was asked in the question and answer part of this, where we're supposed to confess our sins. The reason why we don't is we still pass our judgment, what we feel a person should do. I'll see people concerning sin give this group a pass. Well, everybody does that. And totally, knock this group over here. They shouldn't be doing that. That's you judging. Instead of going, no, they're both wrong. They both need help. Do you understand that? Jesus made clear, I pass judgment on no one. Now watch what he says. He says, but if I do judge, he's making clear he's not doing it. He says, my decisions are right because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. What he's saying is all my judgments are going to be just what God says. This is like, the Bible tells us not to call somebody a fool, but then we have sections in the Bible where it tells us what a fool is. That's what that means. It means I'll never have the right to call you a fool, but I have the word to show me what a fool really is. You get that? So it will never be me going, hey, you're being a fool. It'll be me going what the word said. The word says you're doing this, this, and this. That was foolish. See how that works? And I won't go beyond it and don't take away from it. And then John 14, 31, he says, but the world must learn that I love the Father, and watch this, and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. I do exactly what my Father. When we get that mentality, that's purity. Why are you in the word? To know exactly what you're supposed to do. In the end, only the pure will see God. He says in Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Let us not take this topic lightly, which many are, I hate to say it. And there's many topics we're going to take lightly, and that's just human nature. If we're living in human nature, we're living spiritually. This is still another one of those things we're excited by, we're growing in, and we realize it, and we're recognizing, man, what have I allowed myself to be contaminated by? And what do I need to do to purify myself? So for those who are still living contaminated, go to the word and do exactly what it says. Any questions? All right. Praise God. That's it. We will pray out. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you once again for this opportunity Thank you so much, dear God. We just give you the honor, the glory, the praise. We just worship your name. We just worship you, dear God. And we just hope that this was done in a way, dear God, that is presenting you, allowing me just to be an instrument by you, dear Lord. And hopefully it was clear and that it was reverent, dear Lord, that everything that we're given, that we're learning is fully based on what your word says, not on what we feel and what we think. We want to truly follow your word at all times, being led by you only. Please bless those who could not make it, those who are struggling, and anything that's going on in people's lives. Help us to be there in order to encourage them, in order to love them, in order to be there with them in you, dear God, if not in ourselves. We can't thank you enough for all the love you continue to show us, dear Lord, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say,
amen.
Amen. Love y'all.